you turn your Bibles real quick here, I want to share with you one primary verse, one principle, say a few things about it that was on my heart driving down the turnpike today, actually, to the other service. 1 John 3:8. If you turn your Bibles to 1 John 3:8, we'll have these verses because Dean is amazing. We have all these notes up, and we'll send them out to you. But I want to talk about proactive warfare. This is really strong in my heart. It's going to be very familiar to you, but I feel like I'm supposed to sound the alarm. I'm supposed to shoot this across the bow. 1 John 3:8, love this verse. In the ministry of Jesus, as it's explained, it says, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. Man, that's clear. It's not just like I sinned and I screwed up. Anyone who makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. And here's our phrase that we love right there at the end, guys. The reason the Son of God appeared or manifested was to destroy the works of the devil. What a phrase. There's a couple phrases like this in your New Testament. I mean, we can see what Jesus is doing from multiple verses and descriptive places in the Gospels, but there's a few places, like in Luke 10, it says that the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Well, that's to the point. That's clear. It's to the point. This is one of the few places where a sentence is given on the inspiration of the Spirit of why Jesus came. And they all blend together and they're all the same thing, but this is the dimension of warfare. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the work of the devil. The word destroy here in the Greek means to loose one that's bound, to untie binds that are on someone, to break chains off of. That's really what destroy means. And the imagery is, as 1 John 5, another verse, 19 will say, the whole world is under the power of the devil. And so what we have here is that the ministry of Jesus, and it's clear from the Gospels, this verse, he shows up and he begins to cast out demons. He's healing the sick. He's restoring broken hearts. He's feeding the hungry and starving. He's breaking the power. He's destroying the chains of the devil that are on people's lives. Anything that Jesus is called to, so are we. When you read Luke 10, I think it's 19, verse 10, that he came to seek and save the lost, so do you, because we're in him. And the same thing's true here. We're called to destroy the works of the devil. I'm asking you today, are you on that mission? Because you're either being a reactor and trying to survive while the devil's attacking you, or you're being proactive in spiritual warfare. There's no way out of the war on planet Earth on this side. No way. There's none. You're in the war zone. It's called this age, and it's in your life. There's going to be an age where there is no more war. This is not that age. So you're either being attacked, or you're on the attack. And probably both is the reality of where a believer should live. The purpose of man in Genesis 1:26 is given and is in sync with this. And that's why the man, Christ Jesus, did it. Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion. And then we mention everything, the fish of the sea, birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and that, and over the earth, which could have been a period. You would have got everything if you would have just after earth put period. But it's and over every, all the creeping things that creep upon the earth, which clearly is a reference to that snake that's about to come in, which Revelation 12 will tell us is Satan. So the end of that verse is that not only the natural man has dominion over, but over all the spirit realm, the dark forces of the evil one that have fallen. The commission in Genesis 1:28 confirms this, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, and I want you to subdue it. Subdue means to conquer. Everybody listen to me. You're either conquering or you're being conquered. Okay? I want to get that in your mind. You're either being proactive in warfare or you're being reactive. And try, even if you're ignoring it, you're getting hit. Because Satan is assailing. He's attacking the nations and individuals all over the place. I don't want to produce fear in your mind or your heart, but seriously, you're not living in reality. Paul would say a Christian's worldview in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, should be this. Our battle's not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly realms. That's the only real appropriate mindset of how we ought to view what's going on the planet right now is warfare around us. And what we see is from the Genesis 1 account is that you and I were made for war. You were made for war. Now, Adam and Eve stand in a garden, happy and in sync with God, and what happens, everybody? War comes. War comes to Eden. The devil comes in and begins attacking. And they, instead of attacking back, received the attack and reacted to the attack and got us all where we are right now. Because Grandpa Adam and Grandma Eve reacted and didn't proact and exercise authority, they did not have to listen to that serpent. They could have put an end to it because they had the authority, but they did not. And they stood for all of us and what we largely do. We have those conversations, lying conversations with the enemy. We receive the attacks on a regular basis, not knowing that we're the only hope, we're the only way that this enemy can be defeated. And so, subduing and ruling over every creeping thing is a destiny for every believer. We are called, I believe, to attack, and I'm going to fly through these really quick to make my point at the end. We're called to attack his presence. Luke 10:19 will say we've been given authority over all the power of the enemy. Just as we literally have authority over the presence of the enemy. We can submit to God, resist the devil, and he must, does everybody remember? Flee. We can make movement to the presence of the enemy. You and I have that authority. We're to attack his presence. We're to attack his lies. It says that he's the father of all lies, and we are the proclaimers of the truth. And listen, lies will just stay lies and grow if someone doesn't attack that thing with the weapon of the truth. Number three, we're called to attack his destruction, his destroying power. He's come to kill, steal, and destroy. We're to attack the where he's destroyed, we're repairing and we're rebuilding with power and authority. I was talking to everybody in Wichita. It's closer to them, but Broadway, if you've ever been on Broadway, Chris and them walk that thing and pray. It's just prostitution, massage parlors, drugs. You're worried you're going to get a drive-by shooting on Broadway in Wichita. The only reason that stays that way is not because there's not enough community development, or we need a new mayor. It's because the church allows that to happen, I believe. I believe we're the only ones with authority to break the power, the destructive power of the enemy in his presence. And so we are to attack that thing and praise God for evangelists and ministers that are moving up and down Broadway, that are getting out of comfortable buildings and getting into the dark regions and preaching the gospel. Number four, we're to attack sickness. And I don't believe every headache and every cancer necessarily is a spirit behind it, but clearly from the Bible, the enemy is assailing people. And I've got some passages I'll send out to you, Luke 13 and in Matthew, that speak of this, Matthew 17. Number five, we're to attack religious activities that are promoted by the angel of light. It says the angel of light, the Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, and that's clearly talking about religion. Number six, we're to attack the accusing power of the enemy by the blood of Jesus and the truth and confidence of who we are. The devil's talking to almost everybody in this room. I don't know if you've heard it. Reminding you of your sin, reminding you of your failure, and stealing your confidence and sonship. Reminding you of all this stuff to break that. And that's an attack. It's an over attack upon your life. Number seven, we're to break his dominion and his power. Paul will tell his commission in Acts 26:18. It'll say he's supposed to turn people from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. All these things are to say this. We're to attack the devil and his stuff. We're to focus on God, focus on Jesus. But I'm looking at Bible verses that tell me that Jesus was focused on destroying the works of the enemy. We don't focus on the enemy to give him a bunch of glory and attention, but we focus on him to destroy his works and to remove his presence. So the reality is that we're either attacking or being attacked. You got to ask the question, are you being reactive or proactive with the devil's activity around you and around your neighbors and around your nation and around nations? When I go out there and I'm talking with South Korean ministers about North Korea, our problem isn't Kim Jong whoever. He's a puppet in the hands of a malignant enemy that's trying to steal the souls and the lives from 27 million people. We're attacking the enemy with the gospel. Why? We're stirring up prayer. They're stirring up intercession in their ministries. We're stirring up prayer here, and we want to lock in on families because we're attacking the enemy. We want to undo what the enemy's done and to release people from the tyranny of the enemy. So let us, of course, repent of our responsibility in sin, but let us refresh ourselves to be on the offense And we've made this point before, and let me just make it a couple more minutes and we're gonna be done. Listen, you're all having, your battle's not against flesh and blood. You're being attacked in your mind, you're being attacked in your body, you're being attacked around, the people around you, the drug guy, you know what I mean? The alcoholic, yeah, it's the alcohol, let's help him practically. We wanna work with the practical side. But honestly, that guy's being assailed by the enemy. And his soul is, the enemy hates the glory of God and hates the eternality of the soul of man and what he can do. And so the reality is that you and I are the only ones that can bring assault on the enemy. And the church is on a regular basis literally just trying to survive the assault. We're not actually bringing the assault. And so what does that look like? What I think that looks like is it looks like you and I forgiving one another. When I submit to God and I resist the devil, he must flee. It's basic character. It's integrity. It's truth. It's not being okay with lies between us. It's not being okay with not confessing my sin. We're all struggling at certain levels, but we got to get stuff in the light. Walk in the light. And when the light comes, the darkness must flee. And so I think that God's people are not militant enough. I think we're the great warrior with the great weapons in the planet, and we've been lulled to sleep and lulled into thinking, here's a couple Bible principles so you can live a good life and live the American dream. And we're made for war. We're made for war. And so I want to ask you today where you are with that. Are you being reactive to his hits? Are you being proactive? I promise you that today you're going to get hit. I'm not trying to bring you bad news. I'm bringing you theology. The Bible says you're going to be attacked today, tonight, this week. And I guess what? I'm wondering what you're going to do. Are you going to wait until he sneaks up on you and pops you in the back of the head? Excuse my metaphors. Are you going to wait until you're down and you're bleeding? You're like, oh, he did it again. When we knew he was going to do it. Or are you going to take the admonition of Jesus that has us praying, lead us not in temptation, but do what, everybody? Deliver us from the evil one. That's proactive living. Deliver me from the evil one. Deliver my neighbors from the bondages that are on their lives. What are you going to do? This is a real honest question. I believe that most of the body of Christ is in survival mode. We're just surviving, getting hit over and over and over. We praise God and call it revival when we heal up from some of the hits or some relational thing, and I'm glad for all that. But I think he's called us to be the stimulators in the earth, to be the promoters of the thrust of the kingdom of God. It's you and I that are bringing the most powerful kingdom. It's you and I that can untie the binds and the bounds upon people's lives. No political party is going to do this. No book is going to do it. It's going to take you and I bringing the glorious gospel of Jesus and the authority of his name. The only hope for Dana Vallejo's family, for Jamie Vallejo's family, first generation believers, the only hope is that they, with the dream of the family of God, break the deception that's on their family so that they receive the gospel. The only hope for Dina's prodigal is that we break the power of the enemy over that and that heart that draws back in and stay. I wish it was like work for us, that we go to work for 40 hours and then we get the other 140. Did you know that? You have another 148 hours a week that's not work. There's 168 in a week. I wish you could go to work and then go on vacation and clock out, but there's no clocking out in the kingdom of God. There's no clocking out. We got to stay alert. He says, be alert, be sober. Your enemy, the devil, is prowling around like a lion. And so we're either setting up a standard and stopping and untying, or we're just living to survive. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, would you stir up, Lord, an army, your sons and your daughters, wounded, walking around in bandages, limping from past hits. I pray, God, for a fresh revelation today of whatever you were called to, we're called to. Lord, I know you've made us appear in this day that we might, yes, seek and save the lost, but destroy the works of the devil. I pray, Lord, for people that are biblically based, filled with the Holy Spirit, that are bringing great damage to the kingdom of darkness. I thank you that it's your church. The gates of hell cannot stand against. They can't keep us out from advancing. Though the whole world is under the power of the devil, we've got the keys of the kingdom. I pray for fresh fire, fresh authority in the hearts of the believers here. I pray we'd stop putting up with an enemy. It's killing everyone around us in our own faith. I pray for people that would stand in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me remind you of something really quick here. As it relates to warfare, there are two dynamics that you need to know. It's in your Bible, but there's the dynamic of authority and there's dynamic of power. Does everybody know the difference? Authority means I've got the right to command. Power means I got the gun to back it up. Everybody understand? Authority is I've got the badge. Power is I got the gun. You got both. You've got both. You've got the authority because you're a son of God and Jesus who said he's got all authority in heaven and earth. You've got the authority to speak against things, to submit to God, to resist the devil, and he must flee. You've got the authority because you're sons of God. You do. And you've actually got the power in the name of Jesus to execute that authority and to break chains off people, to release healing, to release forgiveness, to feed the poor, okay? We've got the authority and the power, and we really need to move in both. I think believers are struggling believing they've got either one. This thing's so bad. That family member's so lost. Who's lost enough to stand against the prayer of the saints in the name of Jesus? What sickness is stronger than the healing? You know what I mean? And he's vested us with the power to make the change and to break the chains off. So as we end here, there are certain seasons. I just came out of one of them. I had one up to Wednesday. I barely got on the plane. You cannot believe how assaulted I was about going to California. I mean, it was unbelievable. Thank you for praying. I was sweating. I was sick at my stomach. It was unbelievable. I want to explain. I was emotionally, and I think I'm halfway rational, but I'm sitting in the airport in Wichita, and I'm like seriously assaulted. And I was like, this is not normal. What's happening to me right now? And I pushed on, and as I went and flew to Dallas and then flew to L.A., the grace came, and I was finally able to eat a little food and to settle down, and I had peace in California. But it was hard getting there, and there was just assault happening in my life. Sometimes we're under that. Sometimes you're under that. You're under a specific, clear season of assault from the enemy. He's just hitting you. Anybody notice that before? Has anybody noticed that? There's some seasons where you feel like, wow, it's going pretty good. And there's some seasons you're like, I'm getting hit from seven different directions. Anybody have that happen? I think we need to be praying for one another when people are in those seasons. Those are big seasons. Those are the seasons where we tip. We tip in our faith and you know what I mean? Things happen that start a trajectory of things, a domino effect. So I want to ask you. And I'm not going to ask anybody to tell. We're just going to pray for you. I'm not trying to trick you. But if you're in one of those seasons where you're just being bam, hammered right now, we better be the body of Christ and gather around one another. I mean, if a war guy's out here and he's shooting and 17 warriors are on him with a machine gun, he's behind the rock and there's a platoon over there. They don't just, you know what I mean? Oh, wow, that's a rough day. They come in, and they attack, and they come alongside. Amen? Who's under it? I know you are. It probably means you're a real disciple. Who's under the attack right now? It's just, you're getting hit. It's an intense season. Would you please just stand up where you are, and I promise I'm going to do nothing to embarrass you. you know, I mean, this means you're a believer. This means the devil hates the Jesus in you. This is, it's a compliment in some ways. You know what I mean? You're just getting hit. You're getting hit. You're getting assaulted. You're having new waves of depression, shame, trouble in relationships, trouble in, it's just bam, here, it's hitting you. Anybody else? I mean, I know there's about 10 times this number. I just want to give a moment because I want to dispense grace as we need to. I don't mean to manipulate. Forgive me. I don't mean to manipulate at all. I just care for you guys, and it's time to war. I'm sick of watching people bleed alone, and we find them a month later, and they were getting just killed because we didn't ask. Anybody else? One more time. And it may not be machine gun. It's the most intense time in your life, but you're like, I know this. I know it. I'm even having trouble praying. I'm having trouble getting my heart where I can call out to God. I've had those seasons where I'm like, man, I'm so bored. I feel so dead inside. I can't even. And I wish during some of those times I would have called for help, but you usually don't. We usually get alone. I don't know what, it's insanity. Amen. We good? Okay, everybody else.